And it doesn't get better. And it just, oh my gosh. We have five children. Love kids. Love my wife. So here we are with these youngins, and we're going to do it God's way. So, man, we did everything. Homeschooled them. We used Dr. Dobson's books and resources. I actually went on staff with Focus on the Family as an assistant to Dr. Dobson. That's how messed up my family was. I mean, we did private school. We raised them in the way of the Lord. We did devotion. We did everything. And still, a couple of my kids, a few of them, spun off and didn't walk with the Lord right away when they got older. I had one, really. Man, I would return that one for a second choice if I not the whole kid, just kind of redo them, kind of like a, reprogram this one, because. And yeah, you pray, God, please, please, God, please. And there's no change. And it gets worse. And guess who comes and just starts lying to you? The father of lies is the devil. And he says, it doesn't work. Or God's not hearing your prayers. Or yeah, I thought all of it was supposed to really work. And man, and you start doubting what you thought you knew. And all of a sudden your prayers start to decrease because you go, I don't see a change. And you let fear paralyze you and zap you. And you get exhausted and you just go, And then you switch to, well, God, you're sovereign, so whatever. Or is that just me? Okay. Am I being too transparent for y'all? I'm not really a good preacher. I like talking about what Jesus can do. So sometimes I'm a karate guy. I mean, from Louisiana for cornflakes. And, yeah. I've never got used to that accent. Actually, I was speaking somewhere and a gal came up to me and she says, you talk like a swamp person. I was like, oh, thank you. Another person said the same thing. Man, at another event, you talk like a swamp person. I was like, what's with the swamp person thing? And then they told me, well, it's a reality TV show. Because I didn't have the cable in our house at the time. I was like, what? Nobody's going to do a reality show about swamp people. And went back to the hotel and actually started checking to see if it was real. And I caught an episode of it. Has anybody ever seen that? Swamp People. Oh, my gosh. I watched like a marathon. It was hours of it. And at one point, I heard a guy say, Junior, shoot him in the head, Junior. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I am a swamp person. That's where I was from. And I was raised on the bayou. I had hunting fish before school in the mornings. Check my trout lines, go hunting. But it started bothering me as a speaker because I was like, well, I don't want people to think I'm, my IQ is over 8. And I'm like, we deal with our pride. And this is a side note, but I was getting ready to speak to a well-heeled group of educated folks. And I'm thinking, just come on, enunciate your words correctly, man. Slow down, speak like you know how to speak, which is impossible. But I got a text from one of my brothers, and I opened it up right before I went on stage, and I look, and it's my brother. He's my older brother, and he's got like cut-off sleeves and shorts, and he's squatting down with a knife, and he's got 4 alligators in front of him. And he says, yeah, I killed him with my knife. He actually jumped out of a boat. And, I just went, I am a swamp person. And this is totally off track. But what if God really made you and me to be you and me? What if he made you just to be you, girl, not everything you see? Or watch. Because if you spend your life trying to conform yourself to the image the world says you got to look or be or have in order to be happy, it's a lifetime of futility. Does that make sense? And that doesn't, I'm not digressing to, you know, don't care about anything, but I'm just saying, wow. And the pressure, I think there's more pressure on females than males in this world in that regard. I mean, how do you gals, you go through the checkout stand or all the ads, that you constantly have to look at images that pretty much aren't real. Does that make sense? Really, pretty much. We've been in the health, fitness, film world. We've seen, we've got a lot of friends who high-profile celebrities and whatnot. Let me tell you, most of it just ain't real. It's all about smoke and mirrors to get you to believe so that you invest in what they are selling. Does that make sense? It's true. I mean, it is absolutely true. So, man, just be you. Just relax. I mean, fashion is good, you know, seasonal. But, man, don't conform yourself to this world. Ladies, I recently spoke at one of the most affluent areas in Southern California. And I'm talking, they invited us to speak, and it was a church, and I went to speak, and they said, we're not going to put you in a hotel, we're going to let you stay with one of our members. I said, I don't really do that, because there's weird people out there, even in the church. Amen? Yeah. And 12:30 at night, tell us another story, Victor. I need to go to bed. Oh, let's just pray. No, why don't you leave me alone? but Mike, my co-worker and friend, he said, no. He said, no, stay in this house. They have a guest house. I said, oh. He said, they have a guest house that has a guest house. All right, what? He was being serious. We pulled up to this place. I thought we were lost because I thought we pulled into a hotel. And he goes, no, this is actually it. So I don't know, socially I have some uncouth issues being from the swamp. So the owner came out, hell do you do? I said, how do you do? How many square feet on this place, buddy? And he's kind of, I said, give me the number. Well, I mean, if you were adding in, it's 22,000. I said, can I invite some of my relatives? I'm going to just, we'll do a week here. But here's the point. Speaking at this very affluent church with, I'm going to tell you what, the women in our audience were the most beautiful women money could make. And they knew it. But at one point I just said, gals, you have everything you need, more than you could spend, but you still look in the mirror. And you know you're never going to be beautiful enough. And guess what? You could see, the Holy Spirit was so present, you could see women start to sob. Their shoulders started sobbing because all the effort of trying to keep up and be with them. I said, hey, be free. Hey, just be you. God loves you. Oh. Then I went and got a manicure and pedicure. No, again, just gals, sometimes you get driven because of the culture. Don't be driven. Be free. Be free. Just be who God made you to be. And look at me, single gals, divorced gals, don't try to be something you're not to get something you don't want to keep. I've never said that. Can we record that? I hope is this on? Because that's a quote. Please, somebody put that on Facebook. That sounded good. That sounded good. Okay. No, you know, you have to trust God, women and the singles. Don't live in fear. Because that verse, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's the verse we're speaking about this morning. Don't let fear drive you to insecurity of, oh, I'm not going to get a man. So you end up trying to be something you're not, again, to get somebody you don't want to keep. And you know what? You compromise the values that you know are in your heart. Don't. I got a good friend, same with guys. And I'm living proof that if you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness in his time, will, and way, he'll bring you the most amazing person for you. And God did. And I actually married the most beautiful woman in the world. And the sweetest. And the most godly. And 25 years later, she's more beautiful. She's even sweeter. And she's definitely more godly. Because she has stayed with me all these years. And put up with me. And I've seen the love of God in ways oh my goodness. I have a friend that really struggled. Like I did. I struggled with insecurities as a kid because of my background. And I'll tell you about it in a little bit. But this one friend of mine, he was so worried he'd never get a date. That's a real thing, right? We all want to be loved. Say amen. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted and valued. It's part of our DNA. And my friend was so worried. He's like, oh. And it really, man, he let fear just consume him and weigh him down. I'm not going to get a date. He couldn't get in. And even at an early age, he didn't feel like he fit in. And at 10 years old, he attempted suicide. Very sad. Guys, don't ever mess with suicide. Don't even warm your hands to the thought of it. It's a permanent solution for a temporary problem. Life does get better. It can. When you're at your bottom and you're at the base, cry out to God. Cry out to God with all your heart. He'll hear you. In whatever situation, we're talking about prodigals, we're talking about singleness, we're talking about does God really hear? He does hear, and he will answer. Cry with all your heart. My friend, he ended up going through high school, and again, he's worried about dating and couldn't get a date, and the reason why is he didn't have any arms. And he goes, who's going to date me? I can't even hold her hand, can't open a door. And as a matter of fact, he didn't even have legs. He was born with a rare disorder of no arms and no legs. Does that put your problems in perspective, gals? When you're in the closet going, these shoes just, they don't work. What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? No. I know how y'all think. Come on, please. I have three daughters. I was raised with three sisters. I've seen the violent raging over a straightener. Man, go on and just start macing people. But my friend, he came to a place in his life where he said, I've got to stop comparing myself to everybody else, because his position was extreme, right? How can he conform to what the image of this world is supposed to be when he didn't have arm and legs? So you know what he did? Here's the secret. He goes, I'm going to stop worrying about what I don't have and start being thankful to God for what I do have. And he goes, and he's funny. He's like, well, I am kind of good looking. And he is. He's kind of a handsome dude. He goes, I got a good personality. And he says, I'm kind of smart. And he is. Man, he's very smart. He went to school, got 2 degrees. And one was business major, another was economics or accounting. And he said, he realized that God had gave him gifts unique to him. Yeah, he doesn't have arms and legs, but he said, that's not going to limit me anymore. And then he actually wrote a book. It's called No Arms, No Legs, No Limits. Some of you may know who I'm talking about. It's Nick Vujicic. Me and Nick are buddies. We text back and forth. He actually included me in his last book, in one of his chapters, which I was honored, and we're doing some events next year together. But you know what? He just finally said, Lord, I'm going to be thankful for what you've given me, and I'm going to live life full on out. And he lives life fearless. This guy is fearless and crazy. He swims. He can play soccer. He can golf. He surfs, people. He serves. He skydives. You can watch a video. The guy who did tandem jumping rigged him up, made a special harness for him, and they recorded him right before he went up. He's like, okay. The guy's cinching him down. He's like, okay, because there's nothing to... Man, it's just... And the guy's cinching him down, and he's like, okay, Nick. And you know, he's like, one more little cinch, and he's like, is that too tight? And Nick goes, yeah, it is too tight. He goes, I can't feel my hands. The guy's like... Does he know he doesn't have hands? Nick's crazy, y'all. He's my type of people. He did, I think he did 22 countries last year speaking. And he is so passionate for the Lord, and he seeks every opportunity to have fun. And he's getting on a plane one time. He's bored, another flight. And his assistant who travels around with him, they let him go on first because he doesn't, you know, have arms and legs. And I can say that. We're close. I was having lunch one time with him. I said, Nick. I said, can you believe everything God's done for you in your life? Because you don't even have arms or legs? He goes, I know. He's crazy. Believe me, 5 minutes with him, you believe me, his spirit is so strong, you don't even see no arms and legs. You see the man, Nick, and you're like, whoa, God's all over this dude. He's crazy. So he's getting on a flight. They let him go on first. He tells his assistant, he said, hey, put me in an overhead bin. True story. True story. His assistant goes, no, Nick, no. He goes, no. He said, you work for me, do it. And he's like, oh. He takes Nick and closes it. And the Nick says, record it. So he backs up. He gets his camera out. And sure enough, you know, some people start coming. A businessman's like, get out of my way, I'm a travel pro, leave me alone. He opens it up, he sees Nick. The guy goes, ah! Nick goes, ah! And that's Nick. That is Nick. Check out his ministry, y'all. Google him. Amazing brother. Amazing brother. He stopped letting fear run his life. And if he can do it, you can do it. See, the scripture says God's not given us a spirit, verse 7, of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you know, verse 4 through 6, you read it. It's a little lineage of his Christianhood. I'm talking about the gifts that are laid on, that God's given him. But Paul tells Timothy, he reminds him, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. You know something? If you let fear run your life, the gifts that God has given you, you won't be able to operate in them fully. You won't be able to enjoy life. Now, there's different types of fear. Like I said, the stresses of life. Sometimes people have chemical imbalances that medication does absolutely help. So I'm not against medication. But the fear that I want to talk to you about is a spirit of fear. A demonic spirit that comes to cause fear on people. Everybody gets real quiet when I say demonic. It's funny in churches. Someone say, don't say the devil's name. They may come around. It's true, but I'll say it loud. Devil! Demons! Lucifer! I respect him, but I don't fear him. I fear the Lord God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, fear the devil. Nowhere. And anybody ever dealt with bullies? I've been bullied. Oh, man, as a kid growing up. And let me tell you why, because there's such insecurity. My father was a drug dealer and a pimp who actually didn't claim me as this kid when my mom got pregnant. When she had me at the hospital, he wasn't nowhere around. I understand rejection at the highest level. My mom would marry 6 times. I went to 14 schools. I lived in 17 houses. Because of the unstable environment, bad things happened to me as a kid. One of them being bullied and being in so many schools. Huh. And fear definitely ran my life for many years. I had a stepfather who was, he was an alcoholic. He was a mean one. Y'all know about alcoholics? There's typically 2 types, the happy one and then the mean one. The happy ones, they're funny. They're like, hey, what's up? I love you. Go give me another 40. And then the mean ones, nothing fun about them. Say amen, somebody. All we do is wait for them to go to sleep or pass out. We call it nap time for drunks. When a kid's raised in that environment, it does not unaffect you. It absolutely does. That's what our country needs to get through its thick, prideful skull. That we're in a crisis. There's over 300 kids locked up tonight around the country. Locked up. There's over 2 million juvenile arrests a year. We have kids killing people. Y'all have experienced it right here. There was another shooting 2 days ago in Colorado. We have kids doing heinous crimes that were rare back in the day. And now they're commonplace. Common sense tells us something's wrong and money ain't going to fix it. And government positions and laws ain't going to fix it. It's the moral well-being of our country that needs to be adjusted. What is right? What is wrong? Not moral relativism, meaning, hey, you do what you want, I do what I want. Don't judge me, I won't judge you. That doesn't work. Because guess what? Some people's right and wrong is way different from your right and wrong. Huh? That's what I tell people about road rage or bowing up against people. You don't know people's backgrounds. You don't know if they got stuff that's really tainted their view of right and wrong. So, you know, you may bump into somebody and be like, Your angry gets out of their angry. But your angry just wants to, you know, their angry wants to stab you in the neck with a knife, hook you behind their car and go driving. I visit with the kids, the top 3-5% of the most chronic violent offenders in our country. When horrible, heinous crimes come, kids get arrested. They'll be reading my book. We've given away over 40,000 copies of my book to kids who are locked up around the country. I have close to 6,000 letters from children who've written me. One that just pops into mind, I open his letter. We have a staff of, I think 6 people to handle the influx. It's not just me, trust you me. But I open this letter and I read it, and it's kind of blocky, almost crayon style. And it says, "Hi, I'm in jail. Our life is kinda alike." And he said a few more things. And then he said, "I'm in for murder. M-U-R-T-E-R. And I went, "Murder?" All I could think of was Cat in the Hat. Did anybody see that? What? You remember that part where he's on the keyboards? Okay. Sorry, that's thank you. I love that part. And I said, "Murder." And he said, "My name is Joseph Hall." And I stopped right there and I Googled Joseph Hall. I said, "Let me see that." Boom. I think it was 60 Minutes had done a story that started on his father, Joseph's father, who was a a big neo-Nazi white supremacist leader. And they were doing a story on this guy, almost trying to normalize that lifestyle, which, you know, they're trying to show the humanity aspect of someone who's a, you know, and the hate. And I'm just going, huh. And you see Joseph running in the background, and Dad was bragging on how he was training his son to shoot and keep illegal aliens out. I mean, it's just, and then the story changed. Why? Because that next day, after the crew had left, Joseph was awakened by his stepmother, and she said, "You've got to kill your dad, or he's going to kill us." And at, I think he was 10 years old at the time, he went and got his father's 357. He had to use two hands to pull back the hammer, and he stuck the barrel in his dad's ear while he was sleeping, pulled the trigger. And then immediately the stepmother called the police. I said, "My son just killed his dad. Help, help." And here he is writing me a letter. He said, "I'm reading your book. I like it." He said, "Write me back." And he said, "I expect you to write me back." I was like, "I'm gonna write you right now, buddy." Dear Joseph. As God would have it, I was visiting a facility where he was locked up. And the staff welcomed me in. And they said, "You're Victor Marks?" He said, "That kid carries your book in his back pocket. It's the only thing he can relate to in life. Because all of his family has ostracized him, including his stepmother, trying to throw him underneath the bus." And everybody knew her responsibility for this, but they couldn't pin it on her because he pulled the trigger. And he was held responsible for his actions, but I never forget, I went and visited him, and extreme PTSD. They had him a lot of meds. And then my heart broke for him, and he didn't have anybody. And I said, "Well, buddy," I said, you're looking at a lot of time. I said, "It won't be your spiritual dad." He said, "Yes." I said, "All right, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray a father's blessing upon you." And I put my hands on him, and I prayed a blessing over him. And Joseph, it's been a few years now. I've visited him multiple times, been written him. And keep him in your prayers. He gave his life to the Lord. He studies the scriptures better than most Christians I know. He started a Bible study at 12 in a maximum security juvenile facility. Yeah. I tell people jail's not the worst place you can be. A lot of the New Testament was written from there. So fear, you can't let fear stop you in any way, especially the spirit of fear. When the demonic comes around, if there's one thing I could just encourage you, my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, those of you who know Christ, is stand in your authority and position in Christ, especially when it comes time for the demonic. When you're praying and prayers aren't being answered, a lot of times that's demonic darts. It's spiritual warfare saying, "Why are you going to pray? It doesn't really matter." You need to say, "Shut up in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone." That's how I do. You don't think from my background I don't get darts in my mind? I got some crazy darts, flaming missiles, where I just have to stop and go, "Dear God, in the name of Jesus, whatever demonic spirits are been assigned to me today, right now in this moment of time, that are throwing these darts at me, Lord, would you please silence them? God, by the power of your spirit, send a warring angel. Cut their head off if you have to, Lord. You have the power." And then a lot of times it stops immediately. When it doesn't, maybe there's another one coming or another one. It's a war of attrition, and then it finally stops. It has never not stopped. And that's the power of God. But we Christians, man, we're just like the condition of our nation, with men not being men, So many men are fearful. And the kids I reach, asking them, hey, guys, how many of you have a dad? Right here in y'all's, did I tell y'all that? Right here, I visited some kids twice. I went to two facilities in the last 2 days. And Alan Carroll went with me and saw. You want to know a great ministry to be involved in? Go reach kids who are locked up. You know what you got to be qualified for? Nothing. All you got to do is volunteer and say, dear Lord, make a way. Meet a chaplain, be a volunteer, go in there and pray for them kids. You'll be blown away. You know why? You're the one who will get blessed. And God's presence will be with you. It's pretty amazing. And all these kids who are hard, gang members, all that, you walk in, they're just like kids. Kids who want hugs. And when you speak truth, they're like, they drink it in. They drink it in. But I asked some kids, I said, how many of you don't have a dad at home, solid father figure, whatever? 95% said do not. So how do boys become men without examples? Man, you gotta, man, we have to step up and do more than our share. It starts with our family, but you gotta go out a little bit of your family, because there's so many young men that ain't got a dad, or it's a bad example. And you know what? You gotta give. My wife does she's done a Bible study in our neighborhood for the neighborhood teenage boys and kids. And they flock to the house. It's crazy. My wife, she just bakes some cookies or whatever. And they come and here are these kids. And she opens the Word of God and says, all right, let's go over the scriptures. And she did that over a full summer and then a year. And these kids, if you're just willing and not fearful, you'll be shocked at what God can do. See, the enemy will try to make you afraid, but don't let him. We have a tradition in our family where we put a cross in our yard for Easter. And 3 days before, you know, we drape it with red. And then on Easter morning, it's a big deal for our family. We actually take the red one off and put a white one on there. And we put Easter lilies everywhere and beer cans. Oh, no, wait, that's... So that's when we're in the trailer park. But, and guess what? A year before last, we did it, and I went out to drape it at sunrise, right? I said, I'm going to be spiritual. My turn. And I'm just being honest. Oh, Lord. Okay. And I went outside, and some Satanists had come and graffitied the cross. They tagged all kind of stuff. Satan is Lord. 666 pentagrams. They desecrated the cross. You know, and yeah, I was like, I think, man, I should let my German shepherd stay out here tonight. He only bites to hold, to release. But I go inside, I'm like, man, I don't want to upset my wife because she's, you know, it's Easter. And I was like, I don't know why. I go in there and I lay in the bed and I lean over and I go, honey, I said, I don't want to upset you, but it looks like some Satanists got into our neighborhood and they desecrated the cross with all kind of stuff. And my wife, when I say godly woman, my wife, she's like this. She looks at him and she says, well, they're about 2,000 years too late, honey. I was like, yeah, you're right, girl. That's true. Then I started laughing, changed my whole perspective. I went from fear and revenge to bring it on, little devil worship. Oh, you done lost. and God even, I mean, it's amazing what God will do. Actually, people driving by, you could see it because, you know, our cross is big. And a news station came out to do a story. And then some neighborhood kids came by. And one of the kids came by. He was, I think he was 11. And he said, what happened? And my daughter and my little girl told them. And she said, yeah, these like devil worshipers, they come and they did that because they don't like Jesus. They don't like what the cross represents. And this neighborhood boy goes, what does it represent? My daughter goes, don't you know about Jesus and dying on the cross for your sins? And he goes, no. And my little daughter shares with him the gospel and says, do you want to get saved? He goes, well, yeah, of course. So she leads him to the Lord right there. And she gets her mom, like, and then, so this kid gets saved, 11 years old. We pray for him right on our lawn, right? He leaves. He comes back the next day on our door. We open it. He's got a big kid from the neighborhood. He goes, hey, he needs to get saved. And the kid was like this. And this little evangelist is like, he goes, I don't know the words and all how you said it, but Mrs. Marks does. He got saved that day. And that's how actually the Bible study started. Because all these kids were coming around going, what's the truth? That summer we had a baptism in our jacuzzi. God's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power. Stand in the authority of Christ and realize that you have power. You have power over personal sin. You. Just like I told the women earlier about conforming to this world, men, you have power over sin in your life. And I'm gonna go right to the big one. Cutting mattress tags. If you struggle, oh, that's a joke. Pornography. Nobody gets quiet. Let me see. I'll say it again. Pornography. Hey, it's in the church as much as it is out. And it should not be. It should not be. But it's one of the tactics of the wicked one. It's one of the tactics of the wicked one. To get men in bondage to lusting to where that's where they feel control over their life or derive this twisted momentary pleasure followed by guilt. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. Young or old, ladies too, you should not be looking at anything that's not yours in marriage. Plain and simple. And it doesn't matter how hard your marriage is. Men, it doesn't matter if y'all aren't being close and you justify in your mind, well, she's, well, I'm going to just go over here. First of all, here, that ain't even real. It's more unreal than the Cosmopolitan magazines. I know people that come out of the porn industry and ain't real. And even your fantasy of it, if we took you and placed you right in the scene, you'd freak out. You'd be like, okay, I don't want to do this. That ain't real. One of the highest suicide and addiction rates, and even murders in the porn industry. It's a horrible, horrible deal. Guys, God's given you power over your personal sin. Ladies too, whatever it is. But you have to confess your sin before God and repent. Repentance. There's a scripture that says, wash your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your heart. So God's power can be affected through you. And men, I will tell you this. No purity, no power. No purity, no power. If nothing else, you just feel condemned. If my wife was up here, we speak at couples retreats all the time, she would tell you, ladies, don't put your man at risk. If you're married, love him. Love him. Love him a lot. My wife shoots it straight. We just spoke at a different one. My wife told these ladies, when my husband, before he goes on a trip, I love him up to the top. She goes, I know what's out there. And all I want him to do is think about me and the joy of returning home. Can we talk about that in the church? We need to. Because we're being bombarded at every other way. God, hey, there's so much God-honoring purity, and that brings power. And the next thing is love. Love, and love conquers all. In marriage, kids, with hatred against your parents, rebellion, and vice versa. Oh my gosh, love covers a multitude of sin. And man, if you're single in a relationship that's not healthy, love God enough, and really love yourself. I know it sounds weird. Love yourself enough. What I mean by that is, look at yourself and love yourself like God loves you. See the value that God has in you. Yes, you're a sinner, but he loves you. For God so loved the world, right? So see yourself as valuable. Girls, see yourself as valuable so that you don't stay in a relationship with some dude you're dating that's backwards, that he just uses you, but he doesn't commit to you. This, and ladies, you are the one that have more control. It's the way God designed it. Girls, you should never be chasing a guy. It's a guy that should be chasing you for your heart, not your body. And then your ring comes on. Beyonce had it almost right. Right? Okay, right? But I just say this. Not only put the ring, but come forward and say, I do. Because gals, if he loves you, he will say, I do. If he wants you, he will say, I do. And you look at him and just say, not till we say, I do. You'll find out how much he loves you. And it can be done in this culture. I tell it to young people, locked up young people, gang members. I said it to y'all's kids. Was it yesterday? Yesterday, I said it to y'all's locked up juveniles in this area. I said to the guys, you want to be a man? Live a pure life. Don't sleep with gals. Find a girl that you love, commit to her, marry her, and then love her. How do you think they responded? He's a gang. You know, he's a tough guy. You're like, you crazy. White man, you crazy, old dude. I said, I know it does sound crazy. It sounds so crazy compared to our culture. But I said, let's pretend everybody did that. Girls, let's pretend that every guy looked at you with honor and respect and would not want to use you. And let's pretend, guys, that you would wait, find a woman that you go, I want this woman to be the mom of my kids. Or I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman. That's how I told my wife. That's how I proposed to her. One knee on a mountaintop with a grass ring I wove because I had no money. And I said, please, let's grow together. And she started laughing. And then she realized, oh my gosh, he is serious. And then she picked me up and just held me and kissed me like this. And then put me back down. I married a big old woman. That's a joke. You guys, listen to me. Listen, I tell them kids it's better because God has a better way. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Don't fornicate, don't do adultery. Intimacy is supposed to be between a man and a woman in marriage. I remember I spoke at a high school assembly and I told these kids, stop, don't. Guys, respect your girlfriend, don't. And a kid came up to me afterwards, he goes, man, I feel bad, but I just can't stop. I said, wow, your girlfriend? He goes, yeah. I said, do you love her? He goes, yes. I said, good, man, that's good. I said, how old are you? He goes, 16. I said, you love her? Yeah. I said, you can't stop having him? No. I said, good. Go today, get your marriage license, and marry her. He said, huh? I said, no, you got all the ingredients. You love her, okay? You love her, you want to be close to her, so just go get a marriage license and marry her. And he's like, I don't love her like that. I don't. I said, then don't be a coward. If you want to be a man, respect her and don't touch her again. because she's someone else's husband if you ain't going to marry her. It's another man's wife if you ain't going to marry her. And that's dishonoring. Something else I told them kids yesterday, especially the one laughing at me. He's like, that's crazy, man. No, you know, because, you know, young guys are. Got to spread my love to all the women. Don't want to deprive them. That's how men are wired. You know, we're all the best lovers in the world. In our minds. And you know what? I looked at that kid. I said, you know how to be different, bro? Your dad would be at home. Because earlier he had told me his dad bailed out when he was a kid. Said, your dad would be home. Every kid that I meet in jail whose dad's abandoned them for a different life, a different woman, different. If they would obey God's command, they would marry their mom and then have them and be there to raise them, guide them, correct them, direct them, protect them, show them how to be a man. I said, you would never have to hear the pain of your parents fighting over infidelity. Or someone packing their bags, screaming and leaving because someone cheated. Or because someone's having an online affair. I said, your sister never would have got raped. And you see these young men. I said, you never have to hear your mom dragging in a dude from a club, going to the back room, and you as a boy know what's going on. And that warrior protector in you, all you want to do is go in the kitchen and grab a knife and stab him in his neck. And that's when I see boys start to cry. Because I touch on the deepest part of their warrior heart and the injustice they know that's going on. And I told him, a 5-year-old boy would have never been molested and left in a commercial cooler for dead in 1970 in Mendenhall, Mississippi. That was me. I have passion about purity. I have a right to. And I do believe God has a better way. And I tell these kids, in jails, in juvie homes, in public schools, because I tell them, what's the flip side? The flip side is me. First person in 3 generations in my family to never cheat, to never be divorced, to marry one woman and love her. And I celebrate 5 days ago, 25 years of marriage with never cheating or been cheating on. And I got 5 children. That's love. That's the way God designed it. Have our marriage been hard? You better believe it. But God answers prayers. A prodigal child? When I thought, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. I get a text from that kid, bink. I look at it. They're standing at a beach, coming out of the water, smiling. They just got baptized. And they said, got saved, went forward on a crusade, just got baptized. Ha, 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 you know. Sometimes your prayers, it's being battled in. And you can't stop praying. You have to pray with eyes of faith to say, what I physically see don't mean what's really happening. So I'm going to continue to pray. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Because of my background, my family, did I tell you about my grandparents? I can't remember. My biological dad, drug dealer pimp, didn't want me. Mom remarried. Stepfather that abused me horribly. You can see it in the film or read in the book. I've been dunked in a tub till I passed out as a kid. I was electrocuted. I mean, just crazy stuff that I had blocked out but came back as an adult in the form of PTSD that was so extreme, it impacted my life so negatively I had to get help. 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. I've been on Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, Lithium, Buspar. My biological dad ended up in a mental hospital for homicidal tendencies. My grandfather, his dad, died in the same mental hospital. So for me, I just thought, is this a timeshare? When do we go? My other grandfather shot his wife in public. Why? She cheated on him. Do you see the infidelity deal? Sex kills outside of marriage. And then he turned the gun in his mouth and killed himself. That's my family. I got away from all my family. I got an organization to help me. They gave me a place to stay, food to eat, and an M16. The United States Marine Corps. I remember getting that weapon. Can I shoot people? The guy looks at me and he said, you got issues, young man. Yes, sir. He said, well, yeah, come on in. And it's back when the Corps was desperate for men, you know. And then 6 months before I got out of the Marine Corps, and I did everything I was supposed to do to be a man, according to this world, and I still didn't feel like a man. 6 months before I got out, guess what? My biological dad writes me a letter, the one that never wanted me. He says, I know I've never been there for you. He said, well, I'm here to tell you that I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And it was him inviting me to go to a church that I heard clearly the gospel, and the conviction of God came on my life, and I took responsibility for Victor's sin. And I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ June 22nd, 1986, with my real biological dad sitting on the front row. And I had run up to the front weeping. I was crying like a baby because I felt love for the first time. I felt God's love. And isn't it great that when you come to faith, it doesn't mean you're perfect? It's never about perfection. It's about direction. As I knelt at that altar bawling, I don't even know why, I just felt God's love on me. Then an elder came up to pray for me, and he put his hand on me. Y'all, I didn't like to be touched. And when he put his hand on me, it triggered me. I jumped up and grabbed him and put my fist back, and I'm snot crying. I said, dude, you touch me again, I'll break your jaw. Touch me again. I pushed him off, and my dad was on the front row like this. He goes, I know the boy. He'll hit you. You'll let him be. And I finished my business with God. I was the last one in the church. They all just let me be. They probably should have performed an exorcism, but I had the word encounter, and God touched my life. And even when I met my bride, the most beautiful, the sweetest, and the most godly gal in the world, my dad was my best man at my wedding. And only God can do that, not man. And my eyes want to leak when I think about him, because he's in our film. You'll get to see him. But this year, he changed his address, and he went ahead of us. But it's a good thing, because even if we die, we win. Amen. We win. So God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And God, you unscrambled the eggs in my mind when the doctor said it wasn't possible. God, I thank you. I'm not perfect, because I'd be in heaven if I was. But I thank you that the direction of my life has changed drastically. That you've, Lord, you've loved on me in a way to show other people how much you want to love them too. I pray for every person here, Lord, for those that maybe don't know you first, God. They don't know you. Their heart's been hard to you, but maybe it's softening up today. If that's you and you feel like God is speaking to you, if you feel like God's Holy Spirit is drawing you, then you should respond. You should say, dear God, oh, forgive me. And you ought to surrender your life to him. What are you afraid of? You think God's going to mess up your life more than you have already? Give me a break. You're from Reno. You need the Lord. Y'all had the Santa crawl last night for cornflakes, all right? Oh, man, Reno needs Jesus. Just like Vegas, just like the Vatican, just like Mamou, Louisiana. Every city needs Jesus in our country. It's the only hope. And Lord, I pray that those people respond to you here today. Hey, if that's you, you say, Victor, pray for me. I think God's speaking to me. pray for me. If that's you, raise your hand real high so I can see who you are, and I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you and you and you and y'all in the back and all of you. Praise the Lord. Good. God bless y'all. Young and old, God bless you. Anyone else, I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and you and you. Good. That's good. It's a safe thing to do, y'all. It's the right thing to do. Way in the back. Good. Way in the back where the heathen sit. Way in the back. That's where I sit. God got a hold of me. Who else? You just know God's drawing you. You need to surrender your life to him. You may have a formal religion. You may go to church, but you really don't know him. You know all about him. You call him teacher, but he's never been your Lord. Who else needs to give their life to Christ today? Raise your hand, and I will pray for you. Lift your hand up. Don't let your pride keep you back. Please don't let your pride. Good. Good. God bless y'all. Good. Good. God bless both of y'all over there, too. Good. God bless you, ma'am, over here. Praise the Lord. Anyone else before we close? God bless you over here. Good. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Okay. God bless both of you right there. God bless you, sir. Good. It's only God's Spirit can do this, folks. Only God's Spirit. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. More important, God sees you. Good, young lady. God loves you. I knew that. I saw you in the lobby. I said, hoo-hoo, God's going to get her. Good, good. He loves us so much, God pursues us. It's not even you pursuing him. He's come after you. That's love. Girls, you will never find him. You will never find anyone else that will love you like Christ Jesus. Oh, my gosh. He is the perfect man. God bless you. If you're here today and you are a believer, but you're caught up in sin, and you don't have that power flowing through your life and you know it, then repent. That means you turn from what you know is wrong. You have a change of mind. You see that sin like God sees it, and you turn from it. Some of you are going to have to do things. You're going to have to go home today and throw your drugs out. Oh, my. Some of you are going to have to, you know, get rid of some files on your computer because of porn, or cut off your membership, or cut the cable to the back of your computer, or bring your computer outside and pour gas on it and light it up. Do whatever it takes to keep you close to the Lord. If that's you, for whatever it is you need to repent of, maybe it's an attitude, maybe you've been lying, maybe you've been stealing, maybe you've just been hard-hearted to God, or maybe you're a teenager and you're just rebellious, you're angry, let God soften that heart and put his love. Whatever it is, if you feel like you need to repent, raise your hand up real high and down. Go. God bless all of you. All of you. God bless y'all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless all of you. Right on. Right on. Believe me, I've repented often. It's a good thing to do. Anyone else? We're going to pray right now. God bless you. God bless y'all. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, every hand that's been lifted, every heart that's hurting, Lord, every person that needs your touch to come to faith or to repent and come back to you, Lord Jesus, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, do the work. Lord, show them that there is no addiction that is greater than your power. None. There is no sin that you will not forgive and wipe out and cleanse, including cheating and infidelity. Lord, I pray for the marriages that you'd restore them. You'd bring them closer together, God, so there would be joy, joy, joy. God, I pray for those who need to accept you, Christ, for the first time, that you would do a work. If you raised your hand to receive Christ, say this prayer. Just say, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry for my sin. I surrender all of my life to you now. I make you my Lord, my Savior. Your cross that you died on proves you love me. And it's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.